Shepherd, 527. John, you want to come on up?
Oh.
Tell us where we're at. Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we are continuing today the informational meeting on the Department of Human Services, information technology. I will let you know that at your places today, the department did provide each of you a list of acronyms and a key to those acronyms. Hopefully that will be helpful to you. We have, again, John Cuddy, Department of Human Services, and Geronimo Tagatac from DAS IRMD.
Good afternoon again. For your record, my name is John Cuddy, and I'm the Chief Information Officer for the Department of Human Services. I think we wanted to try to cover today in your notebook sections 5 and 7. Section 5 talks about our governor's recommended budget for the upcoming biennium, and Section 7 starts to get into our strategy and some issues and things like that around support of our personal computers on the desktop. And let's see, I think that's all I wanted to mention. So if it's okay, we'll just jump into the first page of Section 5, tab 5. There are two pie charts on this page. One of them is the bottom one is the Office of Information Services total funds for the biennium, specifically part of what the governor has recommended for OIS. And the top part is a larger total, 86 million, which consists of the 66.5 million down below, plus the spending that we believe is planned for our divisions that is still resident in our divisional budgets for the upcoming biennium. As the committee will recall, I've mentioned in several of our previous appearances the fact that the department is in the midst of a transition where in the second phase of our consolidation of information services in the department, we are taking from the divisions staff that had been doing technical work that were in the divisions, purchasing and a budget for that had been in the divisions, control of that purchasing and other things. So as a consequence, we have this budget that is sort of a mixed bag at this point, but the committee had asked for some information about total spending for IT, information technology in the department, and that is what we've attempted to show you here. Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want me to talk about what these different categories comprise. They are the, what's in them, they are the standard state categories for this type, these types of expenditures. I mean, I can go down through them if you like. The next page is a dollar breakdown instead of a percentage breakdown, which is on the first page. The next page is a dollar breakdown of that 86.2 million total, which again is the combination of what's in OIS and the governor's recommended plus pieces of IT spending that still are part of the divisional budget. So whatever your pleasure is about how much you want me to talk about this, I'd be happy.
Just to say for high level, the committee members need to go deeper.
Okay. Well, basically, we have hardware, which consists of desktop PCs and laptops. At this point, we're expecting to buy a little over 1,900 PCs, 1,930 to be exact, PCs and laptops. And the all other under hardware covers our servers, mainframe equipment, desktop printers. We then, in the software area, we have software for our desktop PCs and laptops. and other software, some of which is in our computer center, some of which is for our central servers. And then we have telecommunications charges, which are data lines, our own telephone costs, the software licenses related to LANs and the local area networks and the wide area network. You know, Novell seat licenses are in there, our GroupWise, which is our email system, is part of that. We have maintenance, which is mostly hardware maintenance for the mainframe and for our central servers, and also software maintenance for those as well. Let's see, what else? The other government charges include computer charges to DAS. Contracting is mostly in the divisions for work related to projects. The development projects have resided in the divisions, and a lot of that money, with the exception of MMIS, which the legislature in the current biennium placed into OIS, with the exception of that project, those other projects reside financially in the divisions, and so the contracting number of $9.2 million is mostly in the divisions. Some of it is stuff that we do, and some of it would be in MMIS, in ours specifically. Other S&S covers general stuff like rent, travel, state government service charges to DAS.
President Patrick?
Mr. Chair, I just wondered, Geronimo, if, or first, if we're going to, if the maintenance you said was mainframe maintenance, pretty much the $7.3 million, is that? I hear you correctly.
Yes, hardware, both mainframe and our central servers. We have a fairly significant Unix facility, central, on Solaris.
And I'm just wondering, is this typical that 10% of an IT budget, or close to 10%, a little less than 10% of the budget, would be spent on ongoing maintenance like this? I mean,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Patridge, Geronimo Tagetak, DAS IRMD. I am I'm not completely sure what that number is. It doesn't seem overly high to me. I can check with our general government data center and get you that figure.
I'm just interested in that. I mean, that seems like an awfully high number for maintenance, especially in light of if they're trying to move to some of the client server systems, and I assume that that maintenance is just replacement pretty much on, you know, on desktop hardware. But I'm just wondering, you know, I'm not familiar as with the mainframe systems, but that seems pretty high to me. Can you address that? You know,
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, what I could suggest, try to give you a little more of a breakdown on that. That could be helpful. To be honest, I don't know. That's the number. Most of that stuff is ongoing carryover of things that if we're going to operate that equipment, we're obligated to pay. Obligated in the sense that I suppose we could not pay it, have it break down, and then change the way we do that. But most of that is for the hardware and software, and if we're going to keep that stuff going, we have to pay it. But I'd be happy if you'd like to get you some more detail on that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, often those maintenance fees, especially for mainframe applications, can run higher than desktop maintenance. I've seen charges that have gone fairly high for continuing licenses, fixes, maintenance, and those sorts of things.
And just to back up a little bit, I thought it was mainly hardware maintenance, and it sounds like ongoing software licenses, which to me is would be a different category. I suppose I look at maintenance as hardware maintenance, and maybe that's something as we move. We're a new committee too, and as we move forward, maybe that's something we need to break out as well as if you know better define what maintenance is, because if it's ongoing licensing fees, that's a totally different set of issues. But I would be interested in what your breakout is there though.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I can tell you is what's in the category. These kind of state standard category.
We're all learning, so.
So, and what is in there is hardware maintenance for the mainframe and the central Unix, as well as software maintenance for those two areas as well.
Okay.
John, are we buying service contracts on all this equipment? In terms of, going through, I was just sending through some of these, the plan in terms of, and I noticed that there were some, service contract maintenance agreements. And have we looked at self-managing some of these costs in terms of when you look at a discrete piece of equipment, it may be a good investment, but when you've got, you know, you've got a bunch of routers, in terms of paying, you know, SmartNet on each one of those, it'd be a lot cheaper to sit there and just have a couple of spares sitting on the shelf to swap in versus paying SmartNet on all these. It seemed to be a more cost-effective means to manage some of this discrete hardware.
Mr. Chair, I understand we do SmartNet mostly, but it is mixed, not entirely. We've not looked at that, and we good suggestion. Unless you want me to talk more about these two pages, I would propose to move on to tab 7 and talk about
this. Any further questions? Go on, tab 7.
Okay. Tab 7. Tab 7 is, I know the committee has been interested in how all the agencies that come before you are supporting the PCs and laptops that are out in various parts of the agency. And so we've tried to put together 3 or 4 pages here to give you some sense of what we're doing with all that. Our current environment is we have about 7,500 personal computers that are on our network. We've got about 1,400 printers. As I've mentioned before, historically, these purchasing decisions were made by our divisions, and so we continue to have very much a mixed bag out there as far as what's out there. Different ages, different speeds, different vendors. Most of the printers are Hewlett-Packard, but I don't think all of them are. We definitely have different vendors on PCs, and the result, as I've said, the committee before is a technically complex, non-standard environment for both hardware and software on the desktop. We have, as far as software, we have WordPerfect, we have Microsoft Word, we have Excel, we have Quattro Pro in the way of spreadsheets. And as I've also said before, technically complex, non-standard environments are much more expensive to support and much less reliable. And that is an ongoing concern for us. I mentioned the other day, I think the fellow who does desktop support out in LeGrand and multi-county area that has to carry 10 CDs around with him, which each of which has a separate PC image, because when he goes out to do something to a PC, he doesn't know what he's going to encounter. And even those images are not always exactly what he finds, and he has to take the one that's closest and tweak it. That's enormously inefficient, and take somebody who ought to be spending their time working on customer service messing around with trying to figure out which is the right CD to use for that particular brand of and setup of PC. So that's a real problem for us. And the quicker we can move to a standard environment in the desktop, the more we can get away from that.
John, do you think that you will be able to accomplish that in this biennium?
No.
How long of a process do you think in terms of, do you got 2,500 seats or something?
Yes, yes. Mr. Chair, we have said that it could take as long as 5 years, and actually I'm going to talk about that in a couple of moments. Generally, and looking down the page, generally our replacement cycle, the practice in the department has been kind of roughly a 3-year replacement cycle. And again, as I've said, because those decisions were not made centrally, that's a general concept I'm telling you, not an actual plan on the part of each of the divisions to do it that way. As we're working on consolidating the budgets and the control of how these PCs get replaced and when, we are currently trying to identify the potential for a 3-year replacement cycle right now. I know that the chair asked last time we were here if we could give you a list of PCs by age, and we're not completely done with that, but what I can tell you is that we've got about 1,700 PCs today that range between 166 megahertz and 300 megahertz that are today 2 to 4 years old. And so if we talk about another 4 months till the end of the biennium, and then talk about moving another, in the next biennium, another 1 year and then another 2 year on his age, those are getting pretty old, that bunch of them. And then we've got others that are newer that are going to be up at that 3 and maybe even pushing 4 year range at the end of the upcoming biennium.
So do you have a number that you anticipate to replace?
Yes, in this budget number, we are projecting 1,930. And I think, as Doug Wilson mentioned in our last conversation with you, we would like to replace more than that and expect we will probably need to replace more than that. But the way that our budgeting has been done historically, we're still have to figure out where that money could come from. And secondly, when you consider that about 80% of this department's budget is dependent on caseload levels, especially in an economy that's getting potentially a little weird, we may or may not, frankly, be able to come up with money to replace more than that. Although, as I said, with 1,700 right now, even before this biennium ends, that are 350s and below, we're going to be under some pressure on some of these to try to find money to replace more than that 1,930 that is currently projected. Our strategic direction, and I talked to the committee last time about our strategic direction, and this really relates back to that tab in your book. We are considering trying to figure out a way to move to a 4-year replacement cycle. And there are some considerations that we have to think about there. The Gartner Group, which is a national consulting group that specializes in tracking trends in information technology and helps us understand where it is going. The state actually has a contract with them that we tap into and get information from them. They are suggesting that now, and this is fairly recent for them, just within the last 6 months or so we've come across this from them, but they're suggesting that organizations that have fairly stable technical environments should really be considering moving to a 4-year plan for replacement rather than 3. A couple of considerations for us specifically are that we are continuing, and when we talk to you about both our policy option package and our ongoing projects, at another time, we are continuing a significant amount of client-server development, and that client-server development often needs a fair amount of power at the desktop, and so that could have an impact on our ability system-wide to move to 4 years. The other thing is we're still not quite sure about the impact of the department's reorganization on the desktop. I mentioned last time that one of the strategies we're using to support that reorganization is the creation of some specific, relatively short-term kinds of tools that people can use out there in the field to work in a more to help them work in a more collaborative way. Some of them, based on our experience in the Rogue Family Center in White City, and also some experience elsewhere, and that may dictate a need. Some of that may or may not. It's unclear yet. May dictate a need for more power in the desktop. So, while we'd like to try to move to 4 years, to be honest with you, at this point, I'm not quite sure that we know enough about some of this future stuff, but I can say to you for sure that we can do that. It may be in some parts of the department we can try to do that, and in others we wouldn't be able to. But then the other consideration is that starts to fly in the face of my strong desire, which I've said to the committee, both off, some members of the committee offline and all of you as well, my strong desire to create a standard desktop environment. If we start having four-year-old and three-year-old and mixed bag again, we still continue with that more difficult and expensive to support kind of environment. So those are some of the things we're just going to have to weigh and try to balance and think through as we get into this.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. Chair, with all the technology talk here, mine's kind of a mundane question. I'm just thinking, you're saying that a four-year turnover, and you've got about, let's say, 8,000 computers. That's 2,000 there. What do you know what's happening to those 2,000 computers? I know the public went to surplus, sir, but what?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, there's a couple of things that's happening with them. Some of them get shoved into other uses in the division that had them. There's been some, I don't want to say this, some reluctance on the part of divisions because of their claims that these are funded by a particular federal funding stream to make them available anywhere but in their own silo. I'm not an expert on restrictions of some of those federal funding streams, but my suspicion is that some of that could be gotten around. But some of them are used inside the division where they're handed down to replace older ones. Some of them are given to community partners, part of our working with them. And frankly, one of the problems that we sometimes encounter with that, I've mentioned to the committee before, that community partners, as a growing group that we are now dealing with and being asked to serve, when they get a hand-me-down from one of our divisions, they're starting to say to us, we have an expectation you're going to take care of this thing. And so it puts more pressure on our support capability to take care of that hand-me-down, which has gone outside of the department to a community partner. And that's an issue for us that is in many ways increasing. And then the third one is, yes, some of them do go to surplus.
Pardon?
The school one, you mean? Yes, I think some of them go there too. Okay, moving on to the next page. The other thing related to our strategic direction for what we want to try to do on the desktop has to do with a thin client. And there's a lot of definitions of a thin client out there, and in many, many ways it depends on what you're going to try to do. I've written down here less software on the PC and a less powerful PC, although we may have, we're not far enough into this to be able to say with any certainty, you may end up wanting to have a really powerful set of cycles, a really fast megahertz chip in the machine, but a lot less memory and a lot less disk. And it really is going to depend on how that application that you're trying to move to thin client on is going to work. There are a couple of things that we're just gotten into recently or about to get into that have the show promise of helping us get there. One of them is web enabling, and the Orca 2 and the NEDS. And by the way, the reason I was not able to tell you what that second D in NEDS was on Monday was there is not a second D. Misprint. It should be NEDSS.
Oh, that's
so.
That's the whole problem.
I'm sure that's important to you all. But anyway, the NED system and the Orca 2 are both going to have web-enabled capability, and we're seeing that as one of the things that will help us move to a, at least seriously, think about it for the client. The other one is Metaframe, that as I said, we are using now since October in the Rogue Family Center in White City, and are making some plans to move that into some other, make some systems available in some other counties using that technology. And actually, the Rogue Family Center set up right now would enable us to go to a thin client down there if we wanted to. So we're looking at that. We're hoping to try that out fairly soon once we get a little more experience with that product under our belt. As I said, we only started using it in October. So that's strategic direction, as far as our standards. As I've said before, a standard environment is less expensive to support and more reliable. I've been pushing this for quite some time. We believe that we can get economies of scale out of purchases with a more standard environment. There is a contracting alliance called, the acronym is WSCA, I apologize, that's not on your list. It's WSCA, which stands for Western States Contracting Alliance, and there are 16 Western states that are part of this. They actually have better prices for Dell equipment than the state contract, the state of Oregon contract have, and we've used that. And then, in fact, when we told Dell that we were going to adopt them as a standard, we were able to get an even better price from them than the Western States Contracting Alliance price. So a standard environment has already gotten some payoff for us because we're able, with Dell, to get an even lower price than that one with the Contracting Alliance. Another thing that that standard environment does is it gives us, helps us a lot with our user training. It means that our users are more mobile to move between our divisions, and better trained users, as I think I said before, put less pressure on the rest of our support structure, the help desk and our network and desktop services group. So we're really pretty enthusiastic about moving to that standard environment. And again, our strategic direction is to establish that standard desktop environment, to focus on single hardware vendors where we're going to buy hardware so we can get the best price possible. And we're also, our strategic direction is to be compliant with the State of Oregon Enterprise Information Technology Strategy, and we also participate in the standards committees that DAS leads. I've just listed here at the bottom of this page some of our desktop standards that were approved last September, and where possible, they are compatible with the DAS expressions of statewide standards. And I won't, unless you want me to, go through all of these, but the Dell PCs, Hewlett-Packard printers, Microsoft Office, fairly standards, if you will, that they're pretty common for a lot of people these days. Moving on to the next page, the chair asked a few minutes ago about how long we thought we were going to get there. One of our basic approaches to moving to standards is we want to evolve to those standards rather than doing some quick take everything out and replace it with things that are standard. First of all, that's too expensive, and also it's risky. You've got training issues around moving to standards. We've got PCs that still have, even though they may not be made by Dell, that still have a useful life. And it seems to me to be not very prudent financially to just pull those out because they're not standard, that I think what we want to do is take them out and move them into a standard when their useful life is over for us, rather than pulling them out prematurely. The other thing that will, I think, make it longer for us to go to a standard has to do with desktop licenses, which can be reused. And again, it seems to me that if we've got a desktop license for WordPerfect that can continue to be used on a new machine, that just because we're going to a new machine, we don't necessarily want to scrap that and buy another office, another license for Microsoft Office. It seems to me that we ought to be, again, prudent about how we're spending this money, and only go there when we really need to, and keep our focus on moving to standards, but just not arbitrarily do it unless we're really ready for it, if we do have desktop licenses that can be reused. And the other real problem for us, and we also, a couple other things, we're going to have to retrain some of our people. If somebody's using WordPerfect and we're going to move them into Microsoft Word, we're going to have to train them in how to use Microsoft Word, and that's an expense and takes some time to do. The other problem we have, which is really a significant problem for us on moving to our standard, is we do have some non-standard products, especially WordPerfect and WordPerfect macros, which are embedded in some of our client-server applications and are heavily used. SCF, which is the Child Welfare Division, is a heavy user, has been historically, of WordPerfect, and the FACES system, which we've talked to the JLC INT about, we just completed, I mentioned it also to this committee, has now got the SACWIS certification, has moved from development into maintenance. The FACES system has a heavy investment in using WordPerfect built into it, so we'd have to go back in, for instance, to that system and change it in order to accommodate what's now the department standard of Microsoft Word as the word processor. So we do have some impediments to moving quickly to a desktop, total standard on the desktop, and as I said, we are sort of have a target of trying to get it done in within 5 years from 6 months ago, so about 4.5 years from now. As far as our procurement on for desktop and machines and laptops, we use either the DAS State contracts or the Contracting Alliance, or even in the case of Dell, we've got a better price yet from them. But otherwise, we use the standard state contracts for this stuff. I mentioned before that my vision would be to try to get a completely leased desktop environment where we could have a more predictable cash flow to support it and not have these ups and downs of whether we think we can replace things or not, and create all this inconsistency and differences in our machines on the desktop. Because of that, more predictable cash flow we can get out of it. We can plan our upgrades in a more organized way instead of just doing them, which when historically the divisions have had the money. And I'm hopeful that if we could move to a leased environment, we could get the vendor as part of that leasing arrangement on some predictable cycle, 4 years I would hope we could get to, where they will actually do the swapping out of the old machines for the replacement machines. That would save us an enormous amount of time and energy and money. When we do that now, when we have massive numbers of PCs that we are going to upgrade, we often end up hiring somebody to help us with the physical activity of replacing the machine. And if we had a part of a leasing arrangement, that would make that a lot easier and more consistent to do. And I think, again, that having the vendor do that, if we had to replace 7,500 PCs, it could take us a year to do it. If we had a vendor, a fairly significant vendor, such as somebody like Dell, who could create the capacity to do that for us statewide, it would be my hope that they could do that in a lot less time, and so we would continue to have that standard environment that's so much easier to support and deal with through that that activity. In terms of how we support our PCs, we have 66 staff that support the 7,500 PCs. And if you looked at the bottom of this page 7-3, the ratio of support staff, according to Gartner, an industry standard that they propose is one desktop support person for every 69 PCs. Our current number is 1 to 114. And I believe that that Gartner number assumes that those PCs are either in the same building or are in the same campus, and also that there's a pretty standard environment that that 1 to 69 applies to. We're doing it with 1 to 114 all over the state and in a very non-standard environment. And I think so that 1 to 14 number in some ways is not as directly comparable to the 1 to 69 as it might seem from just looking at the two ratios. So, again, I believe we're significantly under-resourced in our ability to support our desktop environments, and frankly, our customers would like to be happier than they are with our level of support, but it's unfortunate that that's where we are, and we have to deal with it, and unfortunately, so do they. Moving to the next page, 7-4. Our strategic direction for support of the PCs is to have as much as possible a more centralized management of our desktop. That means an ability for our help desk to actually look at somebody's PC from a distance when they call in with a problem. They can see what the screen looks like. They can go in and look into the PC and understand exactly what's going on. It involves enabling our people who operate our local area networks and our wide area network to do similar things, to look down the network and look into the local area network and see what's going on centrally, so we can reduce and minimize the amount of on-site support we have to have all over the state. That's been an ongoing problem for the department. It is frankly spotty. Some divisions have invested more in their local support than others, and we do not have a consistent level of support out there. Those local area experts, as we call them, that I mentioned last time, are some places are pretty well served by them, and other parts of the state are not. And to the extent that we can centralize that management, we have the potential to create a much more consistent and hopefully less expensive and better service situation for all of our PCs around the state. Another part of that strategic direction would be to, as part of that, to automate the installation and the upgrade of our desktop software, so we can again do that centrally rather than having to have somebody go out and touch every PC physically and actually put in a CD and install stuff. We are looking at technology that, working with technology that allows us to do that, and we want to continue to be able to do that more and more. And finally, for those local support people, again, that we call local area experts, LAEs, we want to the extent that we need them around the state, and we do have to have some capability out there to actually touch individual desktop machines. We want to make sure that we replace that sort of informal different divisions doing it in different ways at different levels. We want our strategic direction as we want to establish some minimum knowledge and skills for those people out there who are doing hands-on support. Our current approach to how we do desktop support, and again, as you can see from this, it's kind of mixed. For hardware, we rely significantly on vendor warranties, which are typically 3 years. We do have, for some of our older machines that are out of warranty, some of our divisions have seen fit to maintenance contracts. Some of them don't. Some of them buy maintenance on an as-needed basis. And that, again, is not consistent around the department. And we use departmental staff to do some of that hardware support. Some of those LAEs do work on it. Some of our people do. Our commercial off-the-shelf software, so-called COTS, which is stuff like Word and Excel spreadsheets, word processing software that are on the desktops, that stuff is done, the support for that is done by divisional staff, meaning the LAEs. Our help desk does some of that support, and we have some of our technical staff around the state do some of that as well. We also have our own developed, the stuff that we've developed ourselves, our application software. These are, some of this are the projects that we're going to talk to you about, and some of it are things that we're not going to talk to you about, which are out there, like FACES, that is no longer a development project. Those applications are supported by divisional staff. Some of the LAEs are pretty expert in their division's piece of software. In SDSD, which is our seniors division, some of our LAEs that work in SDSD are pretty conversant with Oregon Access, which is the main client service system that serves that division. And they're helpful out there in the, when users have problems. Help desk has expertise in those products as or those applications as well, and then our own technical staff support those. And finally, our operating systems on our desktops and our laptops are also, LAEs get into that some, and our help desk gets into that some, and our technical staff gets into that some. This is very much the support, because again of the history of the way the department has approached information technology, that support out there out in the field and here in Salem for that matter is really very much a mixed bag, as you can see from this this list here, and it is something that we strategically want to try to simplify and make more consistent around the state. So with that, Mr. Chair, I think that ends that section.
Okay. And that's what we want to do today.
Unless you want to do something else.
I think the other ones lead into much longer discussions, which
they certainly
we'll
do.
not be able to accomplish today, so I'd rather not venture into those waters yet.
Okay.
Is there any questions?
We didn't get into tab 8 yet. No.
But that's
next.
That's one
whole,
of those. Yes.
That's probably a multiple day. It's a huge project, which there are going to be lots of questions about how to integrate other things. So I'm going to keep that as we'll do that a day in the future.
Okay.
Well, if there are no other questions.
I would like to say one thing. I want to thank you for your very succinct definition of thin client. It's been bothering me for some time now, and I do appreciate the technological assistance.
Thank you. I told somebody the other day that I believe that my job here for the committee is to help educate as well as be helpful to you all in whatever way I can.
Oh, it's the highlight of my day.
Good. I try to say things in ways that people can understand, and I appreciate your.
We should tell everybody.
Oh, you're telling me that.
This kind of
and I thank you for this. And Mr. Chairman, if you could encourage everybody to.
Yeah, we can add a list of questions. And I guess we could employ the Ripton and Butler approach and you start charging everyone who uses an acronym.
I'm for that. Or a technological term.
Has this committee adjourned? Can I leave? Before I have to get my checkbook.
Unlike Chair Butler, let's use it for something fun. Let's buy a computer for our share of places on the floor.
There we go.
We can.
Okay. Well, with that, without objection, we are adjourned.